What's up, everybody? Welcome to the 45 on the Hour podcast. I'm your host, Colt 45, and I'm with my boy, the Darce Knight, Professor Eric Medina. What's up, brother?
What's going on, my brother?
It's been a minute. We've been trying to get this thing up for, I don't even know how long it's
talking
been.
Talking about it, maybe a year.
About a year, mm-hmm. Right? So when we were putting this together, we were talking about how can we help people? Because we do business, we're business owners. We have a moving company and a service master restoration business. And then Eric himself, you could tell what you do.
I teach Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I am a high school wrestling coach. I'm also a college coach as well. And
and you're my professor.
I'm your professor. And we vibe a lot. We are also Marines, we're veterans, and we kind of vibe along, self-development, self-help, personal development, the road we walked in, like trying to bring that to other people.
Correct. Right? And not just other people. The reason why we want to be different and the reason why we relate so much to the emotional side of things now is because we found healing through that, okay? So going back to kind of how this thing started, which is something I wanted to address on the first podcast, is we started this thing in hopes of trying to find healing for veterans and first responders. Mm-hmm. People that thought or think that they were the tough guy and they need to keep being the tough guy. Well, check it out. My whole life, that's all I ever wanted to be. Mm-hmm. From being a Marine to being a biker to doing everything else in between, I always just thought that that was the way out for me because I wanted to do it because of my history, because of my past, mm-hmm. because of my family history, my Marine Corps history, my biker history. All those things resulted in me just wanting to be the ultimate tough guy. Which is just honestly just not who I am.
I get that. That is something that I also, and many of people, many a man, like, okay, what is a man? I have to be a warrior. I have to pursue things. I have to push the envelope. But later on in life, you find it's unsustainable. There is no support system. Like, you have to do the work yourself. And, I believed so hard in just being that gung-ho Marine, that warrior who never feels pain, but then you end up turning off parts of your emotions, parts of your mind, the ability to connect with others, and that's something that now as an adult later on in life, being around other people, I value that. I cherish that.
Right. Yeah. And I think that as Marines, which we both are, we were both in the Marine Corps. I got out a corporal, got sergeant in the mail, like some of us, because I got busted down by being a little knucklehead.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's okay. I'll tell you that on another podcast, that whole story. Uh-huh. Some crazy story. But I just kind of wanted to illustrate kind of just what we are and like what we're about on this thing. So, I mean, going back to that, this is a podcast. It's just a self-help podcast mm-hmm. that we want to try to penetrate people that are in this whole, I can't talk about my emotions thing. And most of that is honestly men, okay? Strong, thick-headed men like myself that just got to a point in their life, and this is what happened to me in 2020, is I started having panic attacks and anxiety. Mm. And then that kind of took me to a different level, only because I started seeing that I was freaking out about the weirdest things. And I didn't know what was going on with my mind and everything. And I thought I needed medication, and it resulted into me just kind of going down a big spiral. And I had to reevaluate my whole life. And what I did was I looked into self-help and I started getting into understanding emotion and everything like that. And the crazy part is before we go into that is I started understanding we're going into emotion and learning about emotions. I never knew anything about your emotions and thinking about what you think about. Mm-hmm. No one ever taught me, hey, Colt, you got to think about what you think about. Not in school. In school, they always teach you, how to drive a car, or build something or, do a test or how to learn. But they never actually teach you how to think about what you think about. They don't teach you about your thoughts.
How to dissect your what's going on in your head, how to compartmentalize.
Correct.
How to look at it from like a top-down vision. you know?
Correct. Yeah. And no one ever taught me that, bro. Mm-hmm. And it's the craziest thing. But when I went in the military, it was all about, you know, okay, you have to learn how to do this and do it at my pace and do it when I say to do it. And that's it. No ifs, ands, or buts. You're not allowed to have feelings. You can't think about anything.
And that's the law in the military.
Correct. And when we go in the military, they always tell you to turn off your emotions, right? They give you the keys to turn off your emotions, but they never give you the keys to turn back on when you get out, right? So that's what they do. They take your emotions and they suppress them because you're not allowed to have emotions. You're not allowed to have feelings in combat. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to have feelings anywhere in the military for that matter. They just don't care about it, which I understand because that keeps you alive in war. So they're trying to teach you and prepare you for war.
It keeps you, like you said, it keeps you alive. It keeps you sharp. It keeps you safe. And it also keeps you under control.
Correct.
You know, and
yeah, you're under control.
You are.
Because you're militant.
You're a tool, you know.
Right. You become military in a military mindset. That's what they say. Mm-hmm. Just like guys in prison, when they get out, they're, what is it? What do they call it? Institutionalized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're used to a segment. And so we wanted to bring this awareness. And what we're going to do throughout this podcast is we're going to teach you ways to help yourself through understanding your emotions and different ways of doing that. We're going to bring people on that have breathing techniques. We're going to bring people on that have had history with coping mechanisms that have worked for them. We're going to bring teachers on, jiu-jitsu practitioners, doctors. I got attorneys. I got people of all different types of walks of life, people that have been injured in combat, what they do now. You name it, we got it. So we'll start bringing on some guests here. But mainly it's just going to be me and the Darce Knight in our zone talking about everything that has to do with emotions, ways of overcoming that, things that we've learned, things that you can help apply for yourself. And hopefully you guys can take some value from that. Anyways, I want to go into the next subject. I want to kind of give you guys a little history about myself and the Darce Knight. So my name is Colt and my last name is Curtis. I was born in May 24th of 1983.
Got a birthday coming up.
A while ago, I got a birthday coming up. I'm going to be 41. It's going to be cool. I've been going kind of all out on my birthdays lately. So
yeah, you were talking about making a big trip somewhere earlier today.
Just making trips and just trying new things, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of being in the sandbox, we got to try something different, right? You know,
yeah,
because that's all I know. Anyways, so yeah, and I got three daughters myself. So that's another reason why I got into the emotional play because I never understood them. They'd always tell me, "Dad, you don't understand me," and blah blah blah, because they're girls.
Yeah, you know.
So, and then coming into that, you know, I was raised by a single mother, went to school, struggled in school a little bit, you know, with, you know, testing and things like that. But other than that, I was a pretty okay average kid as far as scholastically. And then graduated high school, went straight in the Marine Corps, traveled a bunch, went to Iraq, went to combat, came back, got out pretty quick, had no plan. And then I was homeless straight out of the Marine Corps for a while, just trying to figure it out. Got up on my feet. Took me a while to figure things out, a few years. I was just a mess. Had a few jobs here and there.
Is this like your mid-20s now?
Late. Yeah,
late 20s? Okay.
Yeah. And then I started, you know, riding around on a motorcycle, getting into the motorcycle club world for a few years. I took a huge detour on that, just trying to find brotherhood, just trying to belong because I was so wrapped up in abandonment, still trying to be the tough guy. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to be, I wanted to have some sort of sense of pride that I didn't have in the Marine Corps.
Looking for where you belong.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you know, I kind of led into, you know, the moving business and traveling and doing all these other things. And the moving business and just business in general helped me, you know, overcome that by just keeping my mind busy. But I was ignoring everybody. I was just trying to work as hard as I could and not really focus on the present. And just living life. I was living in this anxiety mode of the future, you know, which is what we call the future. And depression is actually the past. So I was living in this present moment, which I was trying to live in, but it wasn't the present. I was actually living in the future all the time, always thinking ahead. So, and then I started feeling anxious, you know, around like 2020, and then everything just crashed and the whole economy started changing because of COVID. And then
COVID was a bad time for everybody.
Bro, it was crazy. And it just took me to another spot and I was having negative thoughts and I almost contemplated suicide. a few times. I actually did.
Wow.
So that's a little history about me. I want you guys to know that, kind of where we come from. I've had everything happen to me in my life, all the way from being addicted to medication to being forgotten, to having a family that comes from a really different background, Italian. You know, my mom was a single mother growing up, grew up without a dad. My dad actually changed his sex when I was a child, when I was five, and that kind of led me into some problems as a kid, you know, growing up without a dad, which I'll talk about more later. So I've had everything happen, all the way from that to addiction, medication, things like that, from having back issues from the Marine Corps. And then what ended up saving my life was jujitsu. And that's kind of how I met Eric. So the Darce Knight kind of, we connected, and jujitsu, in a sense, saved my life.
Yeah, I remember meeting you. I think I met you at maybe John Jocks one day, or, you know, in the locker room, and you're all tatted up, and you had the USMC on it. Oh, you're a Marine too? Like,
yeah,
what's up?
I was like, what's up, bro?
And then we vibed ever since then. This is, man, I don't know how many years ago.
It's been a minute, bro.
Maybe eight?
Something like that.
Yeah, so I've known you for a long time. You know, jiu-jitsu saves everybody's life. That you get into it, it provides you with that brotherhood, that circle, that, like, you know.
Yeah, and you can't be taking crazy medication or any sort of drugs or alcohol when you're in jiu-jitsu, can you? Because if you do, it's going to come out on the mat and your performance.
Yeah, you know, sometimes we say, like, the mat is a mirror. And, like,
right.
If you're not holding up your end of the bargain, like, it's going to show. And that in itself forces you to become a better version.
Correct.
Because you know when you're lying to yourself. And if you want to make any strides in your life, you can't lie to yourself.
Correct.
You know, hard to do. That's some real hard stuff to do. That's like, you know, in the process of, like, becoming your better self, your authentic self.
So tell me a little bit about yourself, bro, because I don't know your whole history. I don't know, like, just give me like a timeline of like the beginning of like how you started
in the beginning.
Single parent, like, were you a knucklehead growing up?
I'm very blessed, dude. I had a very happy, go lucky childhood from the start. My parents are super cool people.
Were you born here?
I was born here in California, West Hills, California. You know? Yeah.
Me too. Yeah,
I'm a Valley kid. Okay. Northridge, right on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My parents are super cool. They are people that I talk to every day. And my mom worked for, Boeing when she's held several positions, but my mom is, she's a very smart lady. She worked on the International Space Station. And yeah, she has, you know, ties to NASA. And my father is a construction worker, and he has a business with his brothers. So, like, growing up, that was like every summer I had to work construction with my dad, and I hated it. But I loved my father. So it was not uncommon, and it is cool to follow in your father's footsteps. But I did not want to do construction. My whole family's in construction. My brother's in construction. But I, at 18, friggin' wanted to be a Marine so bad. And I remember, I think I was a freshman when 9/11 happened. So this is 2001. And in 2003, maybe, I think, 4 days after high school graduation, I was in boot camp. So, you know, I loved the Marine Corps. It was great for me. I have a combat deployment to Iraq in 2009. I think I got out in 2015 or so. I got out as a staff sergeant. But there was a time when...
Were you in a recon unit?
Anglico.
Anglico?
Yes.
I heard about that. What is... I can't remember.
Anglico is Air Naval Gunfire Liaison Company. We are forward observers. We are paratroopers. Yeah.
There you go.
We are, you know... We have the ability to call for fire, deliver mortars, artillery, naval gunfire. And then later on, you learn how to call in like aircraft or rotary wing, precision guided missiles. And it's pretty cool. It's high speed stuff. It's a great time, you know, requires more thought.
What'd you do when you got out?
So that's like a little bit of a, now we are in the reserves. And the reserves are a cool thing where you're still in the military, but you're out. You got like, you know, 20 days off. So I'm going to school. I'm wrestling for the school. I'm Moorpark College. And, you know, once college was over, I started to look into something else to get into. Now my wrestling days are over. And I got into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And my instructor is Jean-Jacques Machado, who's like a legendary figure. And I started from that school from day one as a white belt all the way now. I'm a first degree black belt under him. I think it's been 12 or 13 years. And I'm very fortunate to have my own academy here. We sublease from you and this attention to detail moving. And really just kind of like in the process of bettering myself, becoming a champion, discarding things that I no longer need in my life, you know, like how can I become a better version and in turn give that person to the world, you know? And a lot of internal thoughts, a lot of you know, reading and absorbing other people. And I know we follow a lot of the same people. We have the same mindset on certain things. And, you know, I am so grateful that I joined the military as a young man. And it gave me a million-dollar education in a different way that I would never have got anywhere else, you know? And I keep that close to me, but I also turn it on and turn it off, you know? Can't really be so high-strung sometimes, especially in a martial art where you flow a lot.
What would you say the biggest thing you took from the Marine Corps is?
I mean, just right off the top, it'd be like mission accomplishment.
Right?
We are business owners. We are the top of our respective businesses. There is no excuses. Like, we have to make it happen. You know,
I think that the biggest thing that I took from it was confidence. I think that confidence is everything, man. If you ain't got confidence, how can you do anything? How can you pick up your foot and walk into a door and say, hey, I need a job? How can you do anything? How can you pick up a lady? How can you lead your children? How could you lead your household? I think that confidence is a segment of multiple thoughts that you've illustrated and developed in your brain, and you basically pack a library. So once you've created an action for something, let's just say confidence to put your hand in like a hole in the wall that's dark, right? You don't know what's in the wall, right? But if you did it before and nothing happened, you build a memory base for that, right? Mm-hmm. And you store a little book in your little cubicle in your brain. The next time you go put your fist through that wall that's dark in that hole, right? You remember, well, hey, it's okay to do that because, you know, you go back to your memory base. Hey, it's okay to do that because we've done that before. So you can do it a little quicker now. You can be less afraid of it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what confidence is. Confidence is just repetition. So the more repetition you have in an act or a task or something that you do, the more confident you become. And that's what the Marine Corps teaches us. The Marine Corps doesn't just teach us how to do certain tasks. It tells us, it gives us the courage to always attempt the task without having a fear base that's
on the consequences.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Mm-hmm. So the Marine Corps is all about teaching you how to not be demobilized when you think about a task. Like, we approach a task like head first, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to attack the hill. We're going to figure out what happens
when
we get to the top.
You're going to take that first step.
Right. The Marine Corps is all about, like, not about how smart you are, but how much action you take. Mm-hmm. Marine Corps is all about what? Action, commitment, right? That's why they teach you to stand out a certain way and put out your chest and be loud when you vocalize yourself. And all those little attributes, which I think was a huge play in saving my life when I got out of the Marine Corps, because I still had that little, you know, that little memory bank and that little flicker in my brain that was just like, it just kept telling me, like, hey, stop being a little wuss. Stop being a sissy. Get up, put your pack on, and move forward. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think a lot of us can take that and we can run with it in a lot of different angles. The main reason for this podcast, though, was you got all these guys that get out of the military and they're just, you know, we're tough guys. You know, we went through all these terrifying, traumatic things, and we have these visions of things and these life lessons that we've learned. And now we're trying to live in a civilian world and we think that we're less. And we're actually not less, we're just above average, okay? And what I mean by above average is we've done so much in our life that we've just taken a pay decrease down. That's all we've done. But we're still getting paid, mm-hmm. you know, as in we're still living life.
Yeah, definitely.
We live this extreme life and now we're living just a normal life or above normal.
This is almost retirement.
Correct. You know? Now it's time for you to relax and enjoy life. And a lot of people try to consist on thinking about, what does that mean to enjoy life? What's my purpose? Well, your purpose is to make the best version of yourself and give it away for free.
Boom.
Okay, to the world, right? And I always talk about, in all my Instagram stuff, it's not about me, it's about them. Everything that I do is about them. I'm doing it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by you, it's you all, right? That could be the world. That could be for God. That could be for my alter ego. That could be for...
We're all in this together in some way. And every interaction you have with somebody else and they go on and have that interaction, you know, being positive, being enthusiastic, you change somebody's day and they change somebody else's day.
Exactly. Life's a mirror, not a window, brother.
Ooh,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
And I just think that anyone that's out there and they're dealing with something that they just don't understand that they can deal with because their mind's telling them different things, just control your thoughts, okay? Mm-hmm. That's mainly what this podcast is about, is trying to find different ways for you to figure out your emotions, connect with yourself on a higher level. And if there's guys listening to this and you're thinking, you know, oh, that's like a wuss thing to do, or that's a sissy thing, I don't need to worry about my emotions. Well, check it out. You do. Because if you're not, right, then you're not a human being. Okay. Human beings are emotional beings. Okay. You can worry about your emotion. You can be emotionally connected to people. You're going to have a better life. The more connection you have with human beings, the better you're going to be in life. And to do that, you have to have a deep emotional connection with people. Okay. Emotions create a bond. It creates a memory. The deeper that your emotions are, the deeper your memory is, the more that you'll remember it. The last thing that we have when we die has to do with our memory, what we've remembered in the past. The last thing you want to remember is how much you worked and never enough playtime or time with your family, because you just were so focused on working and you were never connecting with them, you know, on an emotional basis, right? That's the last thing you want to do, is be on your deathbed, because at the end of the day, are they going to remember you? Are they going to have memories of you? Is there going to be true love there? Are they going to be next to you, holding your hand? Are you going to be like, man, we had some great times. I remember that time we did this and that and this and that. Don't let life pass you by just because you're so oblivious to trying to connect with people on emotion and on an emotional level. Try to connect with people on that level so that you can live your life the way that you're supposed to. And I believe that everyone should live their life that way. Everyone. Everyone should have a memory bank of a million memories about life and how great it was. And they should live their life and try to get to that level of true bliss. And that's what I'm trying to do.
You're chasing it down right now.
Trying.
Mm-hmm.
Trying. And I think that doing this podcast is our gift to the world. I think this is my gift. I think it's our gift.
Very cool.
You know what I'm saying? Is to go through these events. All the events that we've gone through, I think all of us, anyone that's had a traumatic past or accepted or had something, you know, traumatic happen to them. And that could be anything. You know, there's a million things that people go through on consistent occasion that's traumatic. You know, some people have been sexually assaulted, abused, neglected, everything under the sun.
You know, I'm very fortunate, but then I've had bad stuff happen to me too. And then turn around like, well, it could have been worse. You know, and we're always like trying to step above that, not let bad things hold you back. That's in the past. You know, it's hard to do, especially some people have had some horrible things happen to them. But, you know, getting up every day, putting your pack on, you know, doing your best, like, as leaders, we got to do that.
It's all about those wins, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a lot of the stuff that I talk about on my social. 45 on the hours, my Instagram, The Darce Knights is The Darce Knight. Is it The Darce Knight or Darce Knight?
It's at Darce Knight. Uh-huh.
At Darce Knight. Got it.
And, you know, you could also follow me at the Los Angeles Jiu-Jitsu Club. That's the name of the academy here. And, you know, this podcast is going to be on YouTube. It's going to be seen. It's going to be shared.
Giant Academy. It's massive, bro. You did such a good job in such a short amount of time.
That's going to be its own episode too one day when, you know, you definitely helped. Like, this is your...
That was like, all you, bro.
This is like maybe not even one of your like side projects that just took off, you know?
I just gave you the door, bro. You walked in.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Anyways, going back to wins, because that's where we left off. If any of you guys are out there and you're relating to all this and you're like, you know what? All this stuff makes sense. That's what I feel like right now. Well, check it out. The way that you get to the next phase of your life is through wins. If you don't know how to make the best version of yourself, the best version of yourself is created through the number of wins or tasks you accomplish per day, okay? So if you wake up in the morning and you make your bed, that's a win. If you brush your teeth, that's a win.
Starting to give you that momentum.
Right. You make your cup of coffee, that's a win. You eat your good breakfast that gives you all that energy, that's a win. Mm-hmm. You go for a run, that's a win. You do your 15 burpees, 20, 30, 50 burpees like I do in the morning, that's a win. You get to the office, you accomplish 7 or 8 tasks that you had throughout the day, those are wins. The more wins you have, the more confidence you build. Mm-hmm. The more confidence that you have, the more you're going to want more.
The more confidence you have, the more difficult it is to go backwards.
Correct.
You have more, well, maybe willpower, you know, that now we start to build that discipline, you know.
Right.
Burpees are not easy. Waking up early is not easy.
Right. And that goes into the other things, right? We can talk about forever. I think discipline's huge, and that's the most important. Mm. Mike Tyson has a phrase that he says, I want to say it right. It says, you know which one I'm talking about before I say it?
Is it the coward and the hero both feel the same thing? Or is it Mike Tyson's got a bunch, and he's a wealth of knowledge and wisdom right now. You know, he's getting ready for another fight too.
Yeah, he is, right? Yeah. I can't believe that. 50 something years old. It's discipline is not doing something because you have to do it. It's doing it because you love to do it. Right? Is that what it is? I believe it is.
Pull it up.
I can look it up. Let me look it up real quick.
Send him a text. Give him a call right now.
Discipline. I'm going to text him right now. I'm going to say, Mike, what is it? Discipline is doing what you hate to do, but doing it like you love it.
Boom.
That's awesome. And that's really what it is. Discipline is something that's non-emotional, right? So we have to think about discipline in regard to emotion because they're directly connected, even though they're completely different. Discipline is something that you've mastered and you continue to master it and choose to master it every day, every moment, because that's what you've told yourself that you have to do, right? I hate running. I hate it, bro. I've hated it from the Marine Corps. I hated it forever. I hate doing it. It hurts my knees.
I'm no runner either.
Correct, but I do it because it's a part of what I have to do. Mm. I've told myself, you're doing this. That's your outside running activity.
You don't give yourself a choice.
Because you got to do something in the sun once a day, right? So that's what I do.
Very cool.
And I hate it, but I'll do it like I love it. Mm-hmm. And I figure out a way to do it. We'll talk about it in another podcast. But anyways, yeah, I love that quote.
No, I dig it. You have to, what is it like? The glass is half empty or half full. Depends on how you view your life.
Right.
You know?
And I think that's all life.
That's
bro.
Your attitude.
I think that's all life. And I think that if you're the person that looks at the glass as it's half empty all the time, I think that you just need to reevaluate your situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people that look at the glass as half empty or half full, I think those are both okay in a lot of people's eyes. But I think if you're always looking at something as a negative, I think you need to reevaluate your whole perception of life and like what you're really here for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you need to go back to trying to figure out a way to give more. I think giving is the way to the higher bliss, to the true bliss that I was talking about earlier. I think that you have to give yourself. You have to give yourself away as much as you can.
So you have to serve others.
Serve others. Correct.
When you serve others, you end up serving yourself.
Yeah.
You know.
Because when I wasn't serving others, when I was being selfish and running around with my head cut off, you know, just as a biker, just trying to just find something for me. It's all about me, 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 me. Okay. People that are all about me, 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 or what?
They're just takers. They're negative people. They're not in it for others.
They're spoiled.
Oh yeah, they're definitely.
You know, they're just trying to get spoiled. It's all about them. It's selfish.
The world is against them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's another one. It's another popular one. Woe is me.
Which one?
Woe is me.
Woe is me.
Woe is me. Like everything bad happens to me. You know, that person's so lucky. You know, everybody else is lucky, not me.
I think those people just want attention. Let's just be real. I think people like that just want attention.
They don't
want
to level up.
They don't. They just want the attention from you. They want your energy. And you got to be careful of that.
Energy vampires.
Correct.
They want to suck off your energy. They want to take you down to their level. Depression is like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, misery loves company.
A lot of people try to live in the past. You know, they go, oh, well, when this happened to me, it changed me as a person. The victim mentality.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's easy to fall into that. You have a bad day, you wake up sick, something happens, like, oh, the world sucks. You
know? I just think that it's, I think that it's so important that if you're depressed, you go back to the emotional thing that changed you, whatever that might be. And I know it's hard for some people. For some people are going to say, oh, you don't understand. This happened to me and it was this traumatic thing. I bet it was. Mm-hmm. And I bet I had a lot of things happen to me that were just as equal, if not worse. Okay. And I'm not saying that what happened to me was lesser or worse or, you know, and yeah, as far as grade status. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to say is you got to go back to the emotion itself. And you got to think about the memory about what happened. You got to think deeply about it. Could it have been different? Could that experience have been different? Could it have been less exaggerate?
Mm-hmm.
Could it have been less worse than I'm actually thinking in my brain?
And this goes back to what you're saying about dissecting your thoughts and analyzing, taking a step back, mm-hmm. looking at it from different angles. You know?
Yeah, because a lot of people think that these bad things that happen to you is like this thing that you just can't move on from. But what if it really wasn't as bad as you think it might have been? If you change the emotion, you can change the thought. Mm-hmm. And if you could change the thought, then you change the memory. And if you change the memory, then you change the future.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
That's very cool. I like that.
If a memory is less descriptive, if a memory is less emotional because it happened differently, then the feeling of that memory changes uh-huh. and it becomes less exuberant. It becomes less overwhelming. The depression level on a scale of, let's just say 1 to 10, let's just say 10 is mass anxiety. 1 is the most extreme depression. 5 is the state of presence.
Okay. You're in the middle.
Right. You start off at like a 3, but then you start changing the feeling of the memory because you've changed the emotion behind it and you've changed the thought behind it. Maybe you move from like a 3 to a 4. You gain little ground, but you gain more confidence back. Now, the confidence is just the beginning of it, right? Once you gain the confidence back, you have to try to move more into the present. And honestly, everyone, you want to be between like a 6 and a 7 on a scale that I just mentioned. So if the scale is from 1 to 10, 1 being depressed, the worst depression you've ever experienced in your life, like demobilizing, and then 10 being the most extreme anxiety you've ever experienced in your life, where you're having panic attacks and anxiety mm-hmm. all day long, and then 5 being the present, you want to be between like a 6 and a 7. You actually want to be a little bit anxious into the future. Okay. The reason for that is because you always got to be thinking that there's something next. There's something else that I have to be moving forward to.
Okay.
You don't want to be stabilized directly in the middle where you're just completely in the present and you're just waiting for something to happen, but you're aware of what's going on with you and you're aware about your complete consistency and emotions.
You're reacting at that point?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. You want to be proactive.
I see. You want to make life happen for you.
Yeah. You want to be a little bit anxious and like, okay, what could I be doing next? Not, if I do something next, what is it going to be? And if I don't, I'm going to freak out. That's like a 7 or an 8.
I see what you're saying.
Maybe pushing towards an 8.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, about I could 6, 6.5.
I could understand. I you know, trying to get something done.
Right.
You know, trying to get something big done.
That's where I get. And I have an extreme personality where I'm constantly trying to do too many things at one time, which leads me into like almost like an 8 or a 9 a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to be very cautious of my thoughts. And how far I'm thinking ahead and what I'm doing. So that's just, I have to be extremely aware of that. But you have to understand your triggers also. When I get triggered on things.
I've seen you react very smoothly to things that are big deals to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like, that's like, you've already built yourself up to that part where like, oh, that fire, no big deal. That fire, no big deal. You know, whereas somebody else, like that fire would have taken them out for the whole day, the whole week. You know, you didn't spend any time on it. You're just like, whatever.
It's not that the fire is not a big deal. It's just that I've experienced the fire before.
Mm. Repetition. You
know, it's just not as hot anymore.
I see. You've been there before?
Yeah. When you first experience a fire like that, it's so overwhelming that you have to turn away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next time you're actually watching it burn.
You have confidence to face the fire now.
Then the next time you're grabbing a hose and you're putting it out. And then the next time you're inside the house putting it out because you have this crazy fire retardant suit. You're not afraid mm-hmm. anymore. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
These are the reps.
Correct.
You know,
it's repetitious.
Yeah. So bad things are going to happen. You have to live in them, embrace them, move on, learn from them. You know, I don't remember which person said it, but a millionaire is able to look at every failure and pull a lesson out of it.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. That's huge. Yeah. Everything. Like, that's what I try to talk to Javid about a lot. I always talk to him. You have to be able to learn from your mistakes.
Shout out to my boy Javid.
There you go. What's up, Javid? If you don't learn from your mistakes, it's not just the cost. It's So it's not about the cost. It's about learning from it and how much that costed you to learn from it. For example, if it was a $1,000 mistake, let's just say for the moving company, someone had something break and we paid $1,000 to fix it. That $1,000 is only worth it if we learn from it. If we created a new scenario on how we're going to react to broken items and how we're going to wrap things better or whatever.
A new SOP.
A new system.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. SOP is standard operating procedure for some people that didn't know.
Oh, man.
Yeah, right? So that the old SOP didn't work, or maybe it failed and we just need retraining, but you always got to take something from it. Hey guys, this is what happened. Now we have a new implementation for it. And that's why people hate corporate America, because they have so many steps. Mm-hmm. But the reason why they have so many steps is because it's taken them that long to learn. And now they have steps in place that are preventing them from losing that money again.
So those things don't happen again.
Not that they don't happen again. It just, it's harder for them to happen again because there's so many steps in place.
More control measures in place.
More control measures, mm-hmm. right? So that's what we have to do with our own life.
Right on.
Life's all about energy and how much energy you can conserve. So the brain, if you think about the brain on a level, the brain is always trying to conserve energy daily.
Okay? Oh, okay.
Very interesting. The brain, when you wake up in the morning, it goes right to what it knows. So your thoughts, 90% of your thoughts are the same as it was today, as it was the same as it was before yesterday and the day before that. Okay? It's the same. So to actually change your thoughts, it actually takes a lot. And your brain is actually designed to be negative. Okay? And there's a reason for that, guys. Negativity in your brain is designed to keep you moving forward. It's supposed to be there as like an encouragement thing. Back in the day when we were like fending for our families, going out, you know, trying to kill for food, it was one of those things like, hey, we got to get you out there. We got to go get some food. We got to take care of the family, right?
So
the tribe.
Default out of the box, you're born, you have like a negative trait.
Correct. Wow. We as humans go directly to the negative. Mm-hmm. But what we have to retrain our mind in is we have to think in the positive, even though where there's the negative. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We are what we think about. Okay.
Oh, so 100.
If, yeah. If you're thinking negative all the time, like F this person, I hate this person, whatever, because they hurt you. Guess what? You're going to go right to the negative and you're going to feel anxious and you're going to feel negative and you're going to hate people and you're going to be about you and me. And now you're a victim. Now you're not doing anything with your life. Mm-hmm. If you're thinking positive, I'm going to give off that person good energy because they hurt me. You have to give the opposite of what you feel. If you're hurting, you need to give the opposite, which is love. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you feel negative, you need to give positivity. And that's hard for some people to do.
Yeah, I get that. You know, you don't want to, something bad happens, you don't want to turn around and, oh, everything's great.
But the more you practice it though, right? What happens?
You have more control of yourself in that reaction.
Yes. And guys, I'm telling you, from 2020, I've come a long way. Like I don't feel the way I do just because I have true clarity now. Mm. I'm at like, you know, where there's almost perfect. I mean, you live in a different harmonious feeling and a vibrant, your vibrancy is just completely different in life. When you learn to exit the people that are just completely negative out of your life and the people that constantly are hurting you, even if that's family, as difficult as it may be, you're very, very sensitive. Mm-hmm. I'm a very strong person mentally, but I had a breaking point. Okay. And I had to relearn and reteach myself how to be okay. And it's okay at the end of the day to be hurt, but it's not okay to be hurt forever.
You can't stay there.
Yeah, just because you were hurt doesn't mean you need to live a death sentence for the rest of your life in pain.
You could get knocked down, but you can't stay on the ground. You got to get up.
Correct. And we're going to teach you guys that on this podcast because that's what we're here for. And in my eyes, I feel like this was a calling to me to have the things that happened to me my whole life to lead up to here, to take all these bad things that have happened to me as experience. Because the best teacher of a bad experience is someone that had that experience. I could teach you how to overcome it by having those experiences. Because if I don't understand it, I can't relate to you.
I'm your jiu-jitsu instructor.
Correct.
I've been where you are.
A thousand times.
My arm has been in the same place.
Mad Darce jokes.
I've been tapped the same way you've been tapped a million times, you know?
Correct. And you know how to get out of it, right?
Hey, listen to me. I know how to get out. You know, let me shave off a couple, you know, months of you. You know, looking around in the dark. That's the job of the teacher, the instructor, you know.
This has been good. So guys, 45 on the Hour podcast is all about emotional healing. We want to take veterans, first responders, people that have suffered great emotional tragedy, and we want to try to help you overcome it through learning about your emotions And we're going to bring people on this podcast that are going to help you. People that do breathing techniques, like I said, doctors, physicians.
Educate you.
Jiu-jitsu practitioners, fighters, warriors, you name it. People that have been through it all. People that have different ways of coping and having better coping mechanisms.
Mm-hmm. The more tools you have, the better.
Correct. And we're going to teach you guys all that stuff. And we're going to bring you guys the best value that we can. If anyone has any questions about anything to do with our podcast or about us, please feel free to hit us up on our Instagram @45onthehour. That's mine. And then @DarsKnight.
Send us a DM. You know, we're around. We're not too hard to reach.
Correct. Know? And if you'd like to be a guest, also let us know. Other than that, guys, we're here. We consider every one of you guys family. And we do this stuff for you guys because we love you guys. And we're here for the long haul. And I'll be here every step of the way. That's no matter what.
Episode 1.
Episode 1. Remember that.